Once you get on the ground, you can get shot at. We know what happened in Afghanistan, and it's costly. And I wonder whether we as Christians also fall a little bit into that when we think of mission. You know, nowadays we have technology where we can do amazing things. My son has designed for the Gideons. He works for the Gideons. He has designed an app. I don't know if any of you have seen it. It's called the New Life app, where somebody anywhere in the world, if he has an iPhone or Android, can get onto that app, and you can have the whole Bible on there. You have helps, how to become a Christian, helping people who are Christians. It's all on that little app. So then the question comes, why would we send missionaries when all they have to do is look at an app and get the whole Bible on there? It's a lot cheaper. It's a lot safer. Many times I've been asked, when I ask people, how about going to North Korea? You know what they ask? Is it safe? You know, when we put boots on the ground, then we wonder about the cost. And I want to just talk briefly about the fact about Jesus said to his disciples, after he had risen from the dead, he met them all together, except Thomas wasn't there at first. And he told them, he said, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. That's one of the most powerful missions statements in the scriptures. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. He was, as it were, he was saying, I did it. I did it. Now over to you. I did it. Now it's your turn. Now you do it. As with me, so with you. And they did. Many of them went and lost their lives. There's traditions about pretty well all of them were martyred because they were doing as Jesus had done. So I'd like us to just look a little bit today. I don't know if we have the verse. Can we put it up? Yeah, here we go. First one is found in Hebrews chapter 10, where we have a conversation in heaven. It's probably the only place in the scriptures where we have a record of conversation in heaven. And it says here, quotes Jesus, he says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Those were not enough. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll, I have come to do your will, O God. Here was Jesus, he was volunteering to his Father, saying, I'll go. I will put my boots on the ground. My body is available. The body that you will give me is available for you to use. It was about a body. It wasn't just a spirit floating around. It was the cost of actually a body going and walking the earth and dying in combat. Another verse in Philippians, where we read that your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of the nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. There's the body again. The body. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. That's what he's asking us to do as he did. He came to his Father and said, here I am. I have come to do your will. He's saying, you do the same. Finally, there's Romans 12, 1 and 2, a very familiar verse. But again, notice it's the body. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, sacrifice is holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Giving your bodies. The body is the most precious thing that we have. Right? There's nothing more important to us than our body. And he's saying, I want your body. I want boots on the ground. I don't want just ideas. I don't want just apps. I don't want just movies. I want the body. When we lived in Nigeria, we had in the headquarters there, we had a little shed, a garage, where we as missionaries could service our vehicles. And had a pit down below. We could change the oil. And this particular day, I was changing the spark plugs or something. And I happened to look up into the rafters. And I saw a couple of caskets up there, plywood, two caskets, an adult size and a child size. And, you know, it just makes you sort of stop short. And you realize those things are there for a purpose. They're ready. And for many missionaries in the years gone by, that has been the case. They have actually given their body. We have a place in just a few miles from there where we have a cemetery for SIM missionaries. And it's right behind the chapel of the missionary kids' school and the holiday place for us as missionaries. And I try to every once in a while go there and just get that back into my focus. We tend to think we're so safe now and we don't have to pay the price. But I would see the graves and read the names. And sometimes there were small ones, sometimes more than one small grave from one family. Several wives who have died in childbirth. Wasn't medical help at that time. Couple of father and his son who drowned, and so on. One missionary pilot who crashed his plane and take off. He's buried there. And it just made me realize that, you know, those are all bodies. Those are all bodies lying there, turned to dust by now. But I just wanted to show you the couple that are there with us, Danladi and Selena, who are they're sort of like our children in Nigeria, and we had gone back there to visit now, and we took them to the cemetery to show them. They were very deeply moved. The Nigerian church is large now and strong, but for them to realize that church exists today because there were people who were willing to give their bodies, their lives, literally. And for most of us, it won't be literally. It would be just giving up something, giving up probably something very dear to us. So that's what Jesus did. He gave himself, ultimately the body that God had given him, and he allowed himself to be crucified on the cross. And I think we need to realize that in missions today. We can't just do it by going and showing the Jesus film. That's good. We can't just do it by handing out Bibles. We can't just do it by radio broadcasts. We need to have boots on the ground to, even though those are all good things. But as you saw the video of Lisa, the way she was interacting with people and moving with them and building relationships is really where it's at. Well, the second thing that we need to do is to, what Jesus did is to move in. And just very quickly, in John chapter 1, we have the classic passage of Jesus coming and the Word. It says here in John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. He came and lived with us. And Jesus says, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. He is sending us to go and live among them. When I heard Dave and Judy share today, very much sensing that in Paraguay, they are there living among the people. They're identifying with them. AIDS, devastating disease. Dave and Judy are there living among them. That's what God is calling us to do. Now, he's calling us to do that here at home too. It's not just overseas and other parts of the world. But we're talking missions now, so let's focus on that. To be willing to go and move in with a group of people that need to hear about Jesus. Because as you move in and live among them, something is going to happen. There will be a relationship. They will begin to see. I don't know how many times people have said to us, and especially now when we went back to Nigeria, things that they remembered about us was not so much what we had said. It was what they had seen. And you can only do that by having your boots on the ground and being there. You can't do that with flying in an airplane dropping bombs. So that's one thing that Jesus did, and he's saying for us to do that. And, you know, North Korea, we have 8 people living there now, living among the people in North Korea. They are not able to say much, but they can be there with them. And the church in North Korea has said that they have found great encouragement by noticing that North American Christians were coming to North Korea and facing some dangers, but identifying with them, coming and living with them. We can't move in with them at this point, but maybe down the road we'll be able to do that. Yeah, so then the third thing that we read about Jesus here, and that's the third thing I want to mention, my last one, is the impact. You know, as you give your body and you go and get your boots on the ground and you live among the people, there will be impact. The Holy Spirit is going to work. And it says of Jesus that as he lived among us, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We have seen his glory. And then in verse 12, he has said, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That was an impact that Jesus made. He did that as he lived among the people, and as they believed in him, he gave them the right to become children of God. Impact. And that's what we desire for all of our teachers who are out there, that they will impact their surroundings. When a couple of years ago in Toronto, Mission Fest, somebody brought a Chinese fellow to me. His name is Tony. And Tony was a Christian. He had just arrived from China. And he was about, I think, 30 years old or so. And I asked Tony, I said, how did you become a Christian? And he said, well, I went to the university, and there was an ELIC teacher there, English teacher. But he said, I didn't want to associate with him. I was a communist. I was an atheist. I want nothing to do with religion. But he said there was something about Steve, the teacher, that drew him to him. He didn't know what it was. And over time, they began to relate to each other. And at one point, he asked Steve, how are you? You're different somehow. And Steve told him. Sometime later, Steve came to Tony, this Chinese fellow, and he said, I need your help. I'd like you to pray with me. Of course, Tony didn't believe in prayer. But for the sake of the relationship with Steve, he said, okay, I'll join you. And so Steve said, you know, I have a big problem. He said, I was on the bus downtown yesterday, and I left my wallet on the bus. And I'd like you to pray with me that I'll get my wallet back. And, of course, Tony didn't believe in prayer, for sure. But because Steve said so, they were in prayer together. And the next day, the bus driver came with a wallet and everything in it. And that set Tony on a course. He didn't accept the Lord right away, but it set him on a course of finding out more. This Steve, he's got something. Now, that would not have happened if Steve wasn't living there. He was a long-term English teacher, but he built relationships. And that is really what it's about. As we live among them, we can make impact. And we all do that here. We're all impacting people around us. And that's what we want to do. As Jesus, he said, "When I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." Like a magnet, Jesus drew people to him. We want to be magnets for Jesus, to draw people to him. But we've got to do that by having our boots on the ground and walking with people, living with them. So that is my desire. Now I was going to show just a short video. I think I'm still going to do that. Just a video to show. It's just a few minutes of English teachers who share how God used them very specifically in the life of one English student, and that person turned to Christ. I find it a very moving thing. And as we watch that, just ask God to show you how you could be involved, or how your son or daughter might be able to be there to have something similar to this happen. Go ahead, Michelle.
Dear God, before I believed in you, Lord, my life had had many things for me to worry and think about, and there had been many frustrations in my mental and physical life.
The first time I met Bosca was at a fellowship meeting, and he really looked like a fish out of water.
Getting to know Stephen was kind of fun.
I met a student, her name is Dancy, actually through another teacher.
I want to tell you about a student named Celine.
My story is about one of my students who I met about a year and a half ago. Her name is Ada.
My student's name is Sonsai.
I feel like God completely worked in my student's heart, and I just watched.
This year, I really was praying that God would bring one student that I could talk to.
We met at a Mid-Autumn Festival party.
I had always thought I should have been able to do this or that, do this for my family and that for my friends. I should have been this person or that person to meet the expectations of my parents and my friends.
He and I enjoyed getting to know each other.
He came up to us and was introduced to us by another student. I invited her to lunch at my apartment.
I invited her and some other girls to go shopping with me one day.
We actually started hanging out by just going shopping together, just having a common interest and wanting to spend time together.
We've had several spiritual conversations and just talked about deep things over time, but nothing really huge.
He became kind of a regular. We just connected with each other.
It didn't take long before we realized that our hearts were really knit together.
So for my first year in Lanzhou, we just spent time together. And I didn't really know what she believed or what she thought about me as a Christian.
At one point, Celine asked me if she could borrow some English books from our library. And I said, of course.
We got together for lunch. And at this point in our friendship, it was starting to feel like, where is this going? You know, Lord, should I keep hanging out with her? Should I keep initiating? Because a lot of times with Chinese friends, you just sit together over a meal and they don't talk.
Within my family, there were contradicting expectations that exasperated me and took away the joy in life. And I wanted to escape from that life. I always thought and lived for others and thus neglected my own life and also fell into sinful and wrongful living. As a result, my mental life became so much more difficult, and I had no way out.
Stephen started approaching us and asking questions about the mosque in town and Christianity.
An event happened that really rocked her world.
I was just racking my brain over what to do.
One evening we were hanging out, and her boyfriend turned violent and got really mad about something, and he tried to attack her.
She shared that she really felt guilty about some things she had done.
So he described it as, in his mind, he felt like he was drowning and that he could barely keep his head above the water.
I was afraid that if I asked her, I would make her feel like I was pushing her into something that she didn't want to do.
But you, Lord, have provided for me a way out of this impasse and have taken my sins for me to give me a better life in the future.
Over the next few months, we were able to share about the love of Christ in some real meaningful and specific ways.
He wanted to learn more, and so we got to start a study together with Katie and I.
I said, would you like to study a book with me, the Bible? And she said, I would love to.
We started meeting pretty regularly with him, and it was probably the third or fourth time he came for lunch. We had this habit of saying grace before meals, and he said to us, are you praying to the Christian God when you do that?
We went back to my house, and our team leader, Corky, was there, and a Lao pastor also happened to be at the house having lunch together, and he ended up sharing his testimony with Sonsai, and he had been a lot like her boyfriend before he met Christ.
He came over to my apartment, and we had lunch together, and that's when I was able to share very openly the gospel presentation.
And he was kind of really curious about who is this man that they're calling, you know, the Savior, but also the Son of God, and how could he die and come back to life? What's that all about? So he began to investigate, even on his own.
I had the privilege of taking the Word of God and opening it up to him and sharing life with him.
This decision is going to change your life in many ways.
The study with Stephen went from 1 to 3, and we got to week 4 or 5 of that study, and they were already like, how can we become Christians?
I got up the courage and I just, you know, said, Ada, you know, last year we went to church together and it was a good experience for you. Would you be interested in learning more about Christianity? And she just lit up. She was like, oh, yes, yes.
My present life has changed significantly compared to before. And I believe that you will always dwell in my heart to guide and help me further in the time to come.
On January 10th, 2011, my friend Stephen came to know the Lord.
It's during the Christmas season of 2010 that our good friend Bosca, a Mongolian friend who came to personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
In November 2010, my friend Dancy came to know the Lord. In December 2010, my friend Celine became a Christian.
In October 2010, my friend Ada made a decision to accept Jesus Christ as her Savior.
On February 1st, 2011, my friend Sonsai became a Christian.
In January of 2010, he confessed Christ and became a Christian.
In November of 2010, Nicole and Katie came to know Jesus as their Savior.
On Christmas Day of 2010, my brother Ha became a child of God.
We will sing out hallelujah.
These are ordinary people like us, just building relationships, opening up. They have their boots on the ground, walking with the people, answering questions. And these represent different countries. There's Vietnam, Mongolia, China, Laos, and so on, where missionaries can't go. But these people are bringing the gospel. I think that's exciting. I am moved every time I see this video, and I just say, Lord, let's put somebody like this in every university in Asia and see what God will do. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you are the God, not only who created the world, but who is involved in bringing all men and women, boys and girls, to yourself. I thank you for your amazing design of using the English language, which is so far from perfect. There's many other languages that you could use, but you're using English. I'm reminded of Moses when you asked him, what's that in your hand? When you ask us, what's that in your hand? We'd have to say, we have English. And show us how you want to use that. Show us how we can encourage others if we ourselves can't go. Encourage others to go. It would be so great if we could have a Christian man or woman in every university in Asia. Think of Cambodia, where there's so much sex slavery and abuse of women and children. think that we can be in the universities there and teach the leaders, upcoming leaders, values, and teach them about God, and maybe somehow we can make a difference in the system. That would hold true for so many other places. Lord, I thank you for your design. May we fit into that. I pray for this church. I thank you for the missions vision of this church and the way they are involved in a big way already. If there's some way they can do more in this area, I pray that you would show them the way and the courage to get boots on the ground. In Jesus' name, amen.